This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Catherine Welch, filling in for Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor and co-host Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Catherine.
We're going to talk about the gambling landscape in New England, and to do that, our guest is Clyde Barrow, director of the Center for Policy Analysis at UMass Dartmouth. Welcome.
Hello. Good afternoon.
So let's start with the landscape of gaming in New England. Rhode Island has table games at Twin River and Slot Parlor in Newport. Connecticut has Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun. And Massachusetts is looking into the gaming industry.
Well, the New England landscape is getting very crowded and it's getting very complicated. I'll just sort of run through each of the states, I suppose, one by one and let you know where things stand. The most proximate thing that's going to happen is next week, Massachusetts will finally license its first slot parlor. There are three possible contenders. The one closest to this state would be the Plain Ridge Racecourse, which is certainly a formidable contender for that license. That could be up and running by August of this year. So that's the first thing to come online. Massachusetts, of course, also has authorized three resort casinos. My guess is the first to be open there will be the MGM in Springfield, followed by something in the greater Boston area. And the southeast region, we can talk about that later, is kind of a mess. It'll be the last to come on. They're not even thinking about awarding a license there until much later this year, and a lot of uncertainty in that area. New Hampshire is debating an expanded gaming bill that would allow one resort casino on its southern border with Massachusetts. I'd say the prospects there are better than they have ever been. I'm not certain that it will pass, but there's certainly at least a 50-50 possibility that it will pass, and their goal is to beat Massachusetts to the market. So they're looking to move as quickly as possible. Maine is debating also some expanded gaming bills. They're talking about possibly a couple of small casinos out in the far eastern part of the state on the Canadian border, possibly another one in the southern tier close to Massachusetts. And then even Connecticut, despite having two of the largest casinos in the Western Hemisphere, is talking about putting VLTs at some of their off-track betting facilities.
What are those?
Video lottery terminals, which are basically slot machines of the type that you have at Twin River. So you can see several thousand more slot machines there. And then if we keep going out into places like New York, they just passed a referendum to have more casinos in New York.
And what, Vermont's too busy growing organic cheese and hemp
sweaters? I don't
know
if it's cheese they're growing, but the numbers show that Vermonters just don't gamble. Even their lottery is pretty anemic.
Interesting. Now, I have to ask, so do more casinos generate more gamblers, or is there a finite pool and it just depends on which state they'll spend their dollars in?
It's a little bit of both. There will be a finite number of dollars. In fact, we could quantify that. The highest number we've ever reached in this country was when people were spending about 0.7% of their disposable personal income on casino gambling nationwide. And that was the peak of the market back in 2006, 2007. We've fallen off those numbers considerably. But the finiteness is kind of a moving target. Depends on population growth, depends on income growth, depends on consumer preferences, depends on tourism and the general state of the economy. You know, are people willing to spend their discretionary income? I think we will hit what we call a saturation point at some point, and I think we'll hit that point within the next 3 years, especially after Massachusetts and New York come online, which means at that point you have facilities competing basically for a growing amount of dollars but a smaller growing amount of dollars. So even as you get new growth, it's still coming at the expense of some of the existing facilities.
Well, and demographically, New England is not growing. I mean, you know, of all the regions in the country, it's really not adding much population at all. So,
Very slow population growth, although depending on the state, it does have very high income growth. So a lot of discretionary disposable income that people have available to them. Massachusetts, again, being the driver for much of that, because Massachusetts is approximately half the population and half the income in all of New England. So all of that kind of activity really gets driven by Massachusetts.
Now, in the last few years, Mohegan Sun and Foxwood Foxwoods have both been seeing declining revenue. Now, is that because of the economy declining or people finding other options? What do you think is happening there?
It's a combination of factors. There's still the lag effect of the Great Recession. We saw people's willingness to spend money on gambling decline by probably 20 to 25% nationwide. That put a big hit on them. The second is more competition in the region. Twin River has certainly had an impact on Foxwoods. And then you've had some facilities in New York, particularly Empire Raceway in Yonkers and the Aqueduct Resorts World, two of the biggest racinos, well, the two biggest racinos on a revenue basis in the nation at this point. They've hurt Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun in particular. So the addition of new gambling supply, as well as the general state of the economy, have hurt Connecticut casinos quite significantly.
And just to follow up on that, as the economy improves, does a rising economy lift all casinos?
Well, yes, up to a certain point, although I have to say it has come much slower than we would have anticipated. I think that's partly because it wasn't just a recession, it was the Great Recession. So the impact has lasted longer than we originally anticipated. There will be a point where it comes back, but there's also going to be a point where slot machines become a commodity. They become ho-hum. Everybody's seen them. Everybody's done them. So there's always the potential for consumer preferences to change.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Catherine Welch, along with the Providence Business News, Mark Murphy. Our guest is Clyde Barrow, director of the Center for Policy Analysis at UMass Dartmouth. So, Mr. Barrett, let's focus on Massachusetts for a moment. Bay State gamblers spend roughly $1 billion a year in Rhode Island and Connecticut. Of the proposals for the three casinos and a slot parlor in Massachusetts, which would you say would hurt Rhode Island the most?
Well, two of them in particular. The first that's going to hit will be the slot parlor. If that slot parlor gets located at Plain Ridge or Raynham Taunton Greyhound Track, those two facilities are aimed directly at Twin River. The saving grace for Rhode Island in that respect is that they're limited to 1,250 slot machines, which means that they could at best maybe pick up half of the Massachusetts patrons that are currently going to Twin River and Newport Grand. They just won't have the capacity to pick up more than that. But you could start to see that impact as early as the second half of this year.
And will you see more impact at Twin River or Newport Grand?
On a dollar basis, it will be at Twin River. On a percentage basis, probably at Newport Grand.
And then we have a possibility of a casino in Fall River.
Yeah, that's on the board at this point. They don't have a site, but it's likely you will eventually see a casino in southeastern Massachusetts, and that's also one that's going to have quite an impact on the Rhode Island facilities. They're not even looking to license that until September. At present, there really aren't any viable proposals. I mean, you have the Mashpee Wampanoags, but they don't have the land in trust. That could take years before that happens. Foxwoods in Fall River does not have a location at this point. And KG Urban Enterprises in New Bedford does not have a casino developer backer for that facility. So the Southeast may end up being a reset button at some point.
Although earlier you said it was complicated. And so the idea is, you know, Massachusetts originally said we'll have three casinos in the state. If the Mashpee Wampanoags can't get land in trust quickly enough, they might open it up to a commercial entity. So let's presume Fall River says, okay, we have the land, we have what we need. And all of a sudden, so they get licensed, and then eventually the tribe gets its land. There could actually be four in Massachusetts, two, you know, a stone's throw away from Rhode Island. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. That is a possibility.
Can Newport Grand do anything in competition with a resort casino? And what can Twin River do? So, yeah. I mean, I think Twin River isn't there. They're talking about wanting to add a hotel, right? So to try to make themselves more of a destination.
I think Twin River has incrementally done the things it needs to do, starting with expanding its non-gaming amenities. You know, it now has live entertainment. It has more dining facilities. It has the comedy club. So it's done some things on the non-gaming side to enhance its attractiveness. It's also has added table games, of course, last summer. That's a significant step. The last big step for them would be a hotel. And I think that's really what it takes to become a destination, the kind that keeps people there, that attracts them and keeps them overnight. Newport Grand, on the other side, really hasn't done those things. They're partly landlocked for a convenience facility. It's difficult to get to, at least for people in Massachusetts. And, you know, they just voted not to allow table games at Newport Grand. So they're facing a much more difficult scenario in competing with Massachusetts.
And on that note, we'll have to wrap it up. Our guest has been Clyde Barrow, director of the Center for Policy Analysis at UMass Dartmouth. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Enjoyed it.
And also to Mark Murphy, editor of the Providence Business News.
Thank you, Catherine.
I'm Catherine Welch, filling in for Dave Fallon, and this has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI. a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.